Well, this morning, I have a confession to make. I have a terrible habit. Now, I know I'm probably the only person here today with a bad habit, right? You might be wondering what it is. Is it chewing my nails? Nope, that's never been a thing for me. Is it eating too much candy? No, I used to have that problem. M&M's and I used to have an arrangement, but not so much these days. Is it leaving dirty dishes all over the house? No, my mother would say, not my son, not in my house. Am I one of those people that squeezes the toothpaste from the middle of the tube and makes a mess? No, I'm not an animal, people. Ready? It is this right here. Anybody else share this bad habit with me? I'm always checking my phone. I'm always looking at it. It doesn't even have to make noise. It just has to be there. I finish what I'm doing and I reach into my pocket like automatic without thinking about it. And the worst part is, my thumb is a part of this bad habit. It seems to have this mind of its own, and it's always moving over toward the Google News feed or Facebook or something like that, which is rarely giving me joy in my heart these days. But yet I keep doing it. You know, I came across this study. It's actually a little bit old, but it's still relevant. 2016, a comprehensive study on cell phone usage. Do you want to guess how many times the average iPhone user touches their phone throughout the day? In 2016, 2,417. That's the average user. The high-end users, power users like me, 5,427. Friends, I need Jesus in my life, right? We all struggle. Seriously, though, this poses the question, what are we giving our time and our attention to? What are we looking at? What are we listening to? What are we seeking? Today in the gospel, Jesus said, the eye is the lamp of the body, so if your eye is healthy, your whole body will be okay, full of light. But if your eye is unhealthy, then your whole body will be filled with darkness. I confess that for most of my life, I kind of glossed over this saying. It's kind of a strange thing that Jesus says, but in light of things today in our world, I think that these words of Jesus are really important. I think what he's trying to ask us is, what are you spending your time on? Because that matters. All throughout the chapter 6, as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus is challenging us to think about where we're placing our focus. There's all these things about what's being seen, what God sees, what we see. What are we paying attention to? And in today's world where there is so much noise and so much media and so many voices competing for our attention, most of them not having our best interest at heart, the attention of our eyes, our ears, and our minds matters more than ever. So what media are we consuming? Is it healthy for us or is it toxic? Is it kind or is it cruel? What fruit is that producing in you? Are the voices that you're focusing on producing joy and generosity and hope or something else like anger or fear? I think Jesus is asking us the question, what are you focusing on these days? And what's that doing to your heart? And is God inviting us to shift our focus in some way? But habits are hard to break, right? Many of us might want to shift our habits, but we don't know how to. I mean, my 5,427 cell phone touches a day is a hard habit to break. Gail, please, no commentary from the side. But you know, recently I was talking to another pastor, a friend of mine, and he said something I'll never forget. He said, Josh, I'm worried that today the people in our churches are being discipled a lot more by cable news than by Jesus. And after he said that, I started to think about it, and I started to notice something I'd been missing. You know, that if I would go out to visit some of our folks that are in nursing homes or assisted living facilities or homebound members, a lot of people who are in a space in life where they're kind of lonely and maybe spending a lot of time by themselves, what I started to notice is often there's cable news running in the background with some kind of angry, opinionated talking head going on and on. And then I noticed, too, that if I go to the gym to work out where you're supposed to de-stress and get rid of all the noise in the world, and then you look up and there's a bank of TVs playing all the cable news stations, right? It's exhausting. It's like we fill the void of loneliness and this loss of personal connection with others with these disembodied, distracting, noisy voices competing for our attention. Now, don't get me wrong. I think it is really important to be well-informed, to know what's going on in the world, to be paying attention to that. But the question, I think, is how do we stay informed without becoming cynical and overwhelmed and drowning in it? There's an author and a podcaster now named Kate Bowler, and she said it this way. She said, we are living in hyper-reality where we know too much and not enough at all times. And so what are we to do? Well, friends, thankfully, Jesus doesn't leave us hanging today. He challenges us to think about what we're looking at, but then he follows up with these words, do not worry. Look instead, look at the birds of the air. Consider the lilies of the field. What we look at matters. Jesus says we must, no matter what's going on, we must take time to stop and pause and notice these things, the beautiful things, the peaceful things, the joyful things. And in fact, in Greek, the words here for look and consider, they mean something much deeper than just the physical look at something. They're more akin to like focus on or pay deep attention to or meditate on this. It's like how you might look at a priceless work of art or how you might look at someone you love. That's what he's talking about. And when Jesus shifts our focus away from our worries and our distracted voices toward the birds of the air and the lilies of the field, I think it's more than just an example. It's an antidote. I mean, think about it. How many times have you been worried or tired or carrying a heavy heart, or maybe you're just trying to wake up still in the morning and you're letting the dog out early and just dragging and overwhelmed, but then you open the door and you hear birds singing. And then you look up and you notice this incredible sunrise in front of you that you almost missed, and it's so beautiful that you just pause and your breath catches in your throat for a moment, and you're reminded that the world is so profoundly beautiful, and you just throw up a prayer saying, God, thank you for this moment, this reminder. Friends, God gives us moments like these every single day. If only we can quiet the noise enough to look, to listen. But sometimes, I know that sometimes it can feel like the whole earth is shaking beneath your feet, like the whole world is falling apart or crashing down on you. We all have seasons in our lives where simple words like do not worry are very hard to hear. And in those moments when I'm really struggling, when the raging waters threaten to overwhelm, that's when I hold on tightly to these words from God in Psalm 46. Be still and know that I am God. God is our refuge and strength, it said, a very present help in trouble. Now notice here that it doesn't say that God is our refuge who will prevent all trouble. No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says, but God is our refuge in trouble. And that distinction is everything. It doesn't say that if we hold fast to God, we will never experience trouble. Mm-mm, because in fact, sometimes following Jesus gets us into stirring up trouble, but it's often precisely in the troubled times in our lives that the presence and the power of God is most clearly revealed to us. The psalm goes on to say, therefore, we will not fear, though the earth should change, though the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam. Again, look closely. Does it say that we will not fear because the mountains will never change? Or we will not fear because the earth will never shake? No, it doesn't say that, does it? It says we will not fear even though the earth should change, even though the mountains shake and the waters roar. Why do we not fear? Because the Lord God is with us. God says, be still and know that I am God. I am your God. Not the government, not the senator, not this nation or any nation. Be still and know that I am God. Apart from it all, over it all. I was here before it all. I will be God after it all. So be still and know today that I am God. Not the economy, not your 401k, not the Dow Jones Industrial Average, and certainly not the price of eggs. Be still and know that I am God, the Lord says. Not the news, not the noise, not all the wars, not all the brokenness in this world, but I am God and I am with you. In the most difficult seasons in my own life, this verse has been the prayer that I clung to. These words that God speaks over and over again have carried me through. And now there are some flavors of Christianity out there today. And no, there are many flavors of Christianity in the world, right? More flavors of Christianity, I think, than there are flavors of ice cream in the world. And in some of them, there's this overly simplistic idea that's very appealing. It says if you just have enough faith, if you're just good enough, trust God enough, then God will make sure everything goes well for you and God will protect you from all the bad stuff. Have you ever heard this one before? It sounds really nice, but unfortunately it's not true. And it's not at all biblical. I mean, look at the lives of the apostles. How easy and comfortable were their lives? But the problem is if we buy into this misguided theology, then when trouble does come, and we know that trouble will come, the Bible tells us so, then we start to question our worth. We start to say things like, did I not pray enough? Did I not have enough faith? Am I not good enough or loved enough? Or worse yet, we question God's worth. So I want to be sure that we don't miss this one very critical last line that Jesus says to us in the reading today. It was this: so do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Friends, Jesus is always honest with us. When Jesus tells us not to worry, he's honest about the struggles we will face. He wants to make sure that we understand that finding moments of joy and peace in this life is not ignoring the trouble, but it's a refuge and a renewal so that we can face the trouble. Jesus is saying, don't miss those opportunities for joy and beauty and laughter, especially in seasons when those moments might be a rare bright spot in the midst of the troubles. In some of the most difficult circumstances throughout history, we see this to be true. We see joy as a form of resilience and resistance. When Paul and Silas were in prison in Philippi, they sang hymns to God late into the night. They were laughing in a jail cell, telling stories, encouraging other prisoners. Hope was their superpower. It was a form of resistance for them. And as we've studied the work of Dr. Martin Luther King and his teaching on nonviolence in this season, we've learned that peace is a form of not passivity, but resistance. During Black History Month, I can't help but remember the stories of spirituals. I was in a lot of choirs when I was younger. Those songs that were written and sung by slaves as a way to hold on to joy, as a way to hold fast to courage and hope and joy, even in the midst of impossible hardships. And so the question again, what are we seeking? And how might God be inviting us to shift our perspective, to shift our focus, to give less attention to the noise and more attention to the things of the kingdom of God? And when we think about how do we live into this, I want to close by bringing us back to these words from Paul this morning, the Apostle Paul, who was writing this letter to the Philippians from a prison cell. He still says this: rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. And in the ancient Greek, when he says it twice, it's like he's saying, can I get an amen, a hallelujah? And he goes on to say, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just or pure or pleasing or commendable, if there is anything excellent out there, if there is anything worthy of praise, focus on these things. Think about these things. So my friends, may our eyes and our ears and our minds seek the character of God, the way of Jesus, and the kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. God, there are seasons in our lives when it feels like we're drowning in an ocean that is just raging around us. And in our hyper-reality today, there's so much noise, so many voices. It's hard to tell where to turn or when to turn things off. God, we pray that we would be attuned to your Spirit. Help us to hear your voice above and through and over all that is out there. Help us to experience your joy, your presence, and your hope. And remember that you were God before, you will be God after, and through it all. Lord, lead us and guide us. And as we go out this week, may we be sources of that hope, that peace, and that joy for an anxious world around us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.